You're listening to Rebel Empress Audio Insights. The rise of toxic feminism, from equality to cultural poison. What began as an honest pursuit of fairness and recognition under the law has been twisted into an emotionally manipulative ideology that survives on division. Feminism, once a beacon of women's rights and opportunity, has fragmented and mutated. It has become something darker, a shadowy remnant built on perpetual resentment, selective outrage, destabilizing degradation, and distorted reality. And in its descent, it has poisoned the very culture that made its voice heard and its opportunities possible. But its fall wasn't abrupt. It emerged one ideological shift at a time, slowly corrupting the movement, with its most extreme advocates peddling ideological toxins disguised as empathy and empowerment. It taught women that promiscuity is freedom and commitment to home and family is servitude. It normalized misandry and recast men as adversaries. It demolished gender balance and undermined biological reality. And perhaps most egregiously, it enabled and participated in the destructive indoctrination of America's children. It has become not a movement, but a social and political weapon wielded against the very nation that granted American women freedoms far exceeding the original intent of its founders, reframing objectification as liberation. One of feminism's most damaging deceptions is the reframing of sexual promiscuity as female liberation. It reimagines stability and emotional connection as bondage, and the fleeting attention gained through nudity and detached sexual encounters as empowerment. It has convinced women, especially young women, that by shedding their clothes, they shed their societal shackles. But it has accomplished no such thing. Instead, it delivers a string of superficial encounters, unwanted pregnancies, abortions, single mother households, and sex work-driven industries that chain independent women to male arousal in exchange for financial survival. Sexual liberation doesn't liberate women. It shackles them to male desire while freeing men from the expectation of mutual care and long-term commitment. It reduces love and attraction to a transactional exchange of indulgences, void of meaning or purpose. And while that illusion can be exciting for a time, particularly when women are young and exploring their independence, it rarely offers long-term fulfillment. Most women have an innate desire to build a life with someone who genuinely cares and can commit to a stable partnership or marriage. But feminism has grown increasingly hostile toward marriage and family, treating them not as sources of stability, meaning, and elevation, but as oppressive relics and obstacles to female autonomy. The demonization of marriage and family. Once feminism severed the value of genuine intimacy and reframed it as bondage, it turned its hostility toward marriage and family, casting marriage as a trap and motherhood as a burden. It stigmatizes a woman's care for home and family as unpaid drudgery while denigrating loyalty, devotion, and mutual care to the level of servitude. It depicts husbands as idle or abusive oppressors while consistently overlooking all the contributions men make to a household and family. It treats marriage and family as relics of another time, arrangements that allegedly benefit men at the expense of women. Yet it fails to acknowledge the timeless fulfillment that stable families and mutually supportive marriages provide. It presupposes that all marriages are miserable and all homes oppressive, ignoring the countless families built on love, respect, and partnership. The demonization of marriage and family didn't free women. It isolated them. It stripped away the structures that offer companionship, fulfillment, and security. It replaced love and connection with career romanticization and sexually detached encounters meant to fill emotional voids. A woman doesn't necessarily have to choose between love and career. And if she truly desires independence, that is her rightful choice. But success cannot fill the space meant for love. Only love can do that. Feminism resolved that unfillable void by directing women away from love altogether, painting men as dangerous, undesirable adversaries rather than companions they can walk beside and build a meaningful life with. Rewriting masculinity as a cultural threat. Once feminism dismantled love and family, it needed a villain to justify its ideological expansion, and masculinity became a prime target. Men were recast as enemies, and their masculine nature was reframed as a cultural threat. Common masculine traits like strength, protective instincts, leadership, assertiveness, and logical communication were rebranded as forms of toxicity. Toxic masculinity became a cultural buzzword used to shame men for what comes naturally to them, while harmful behaviors in women were left completely unexamined and unmentioned. The result has been a generation of men pressured to hate themselves, shrink themselves, and in many cases abandon their masculinity entirely in an attempt to feminize their identity. They've been taught for decades that being a boy is bad and being a man is worse, that they should apologize for existing, and that their presence is neither wanted nor needed. Despite the ways men build and maintain infrastructure, transportation, labor systems, maintenance work, and essential services that keep the world operating, feminism treats men as non-essential, useless to women, and irrelevant to society. But the consequences reach much deeper. The demonization of masculinity has produced a generation of young men who grew up confused about their purpose and ashamed of their instincts. They've been taught to suppress their masculine traits, and consequently, it has become more difficult for young women to find the partners they instinctively seek. And when toxic masculinity becomes a blanket accusation rather than a critique of actual harmful behavior, the culture begins to fear masculinity itself. These narratives don't simply shame men. They destabilize gender entirely, paving the way for the rise of gender confusion and the erasure of both masculinity and femininity. How feminism erased femininity and masculinity. After convincing society to fear masculinity, feminism launched its most destabilizing assault, the destruction of gender itself. It wasn't enough to be equal under the law, to freely have sex like men, or to be liberated from the so-called drudgery of family, home, and motherhood. It wasn't even enough to shame men into hating themselves. Feminism's unquenchable ideological expansion demanded more. It demanded the dismantling of the natural polarity between men and women, the erasure of sex distinction itself. And in doing so, it severed the connection that stabilizes human relationships and anchors society. It condemned femininity, softness, and nurturing in women, reframing these traits as internalized misogyny and signs of oppression. Meanwhile, it encouraged women to adopt masculine behaviors while abandoning their feminine essence. It demanded that men suppress strength, leadership, decisiveness, and protection, labeling these traits as threats, while praising men who embraced feminine imitation. With both women and men confronted and punished for their natural instincts, feminism didn't elevate women at all. It destabilized their identity, stripped away feminine energy, and created a culture where men and women reject themselves, making communication, connection, and mutually beneficial companionship even harder to achieve. And once adults were sufficiently destabilized, feminism shifted its focus to the next target, America's children, indoctrinating the next generation. Feminism's ideological influence didn't end with adults. It morphed into classroom lesson plans, infiltrated social media apps, and seeped into children's entertainment, shaping children's understanding of identity before they can develop critical thinking skills. Boys are taught to see their nature as undesirable and dangerous. Girls are taught to view themselves as perpetual victims, with boys as their oppressors. Childhood innocence has been replaced with victimhood narratives, gender confusion, and social activism they are too young to comprehend. Instead of nurturing children, teaching them resilience, and helping them build confidence in their unique personalities, feminist ideology molds them into political disciples. They are taught that the solution to the natural discomforts of human growth is to reject and then mutilate themselves. they are pushed to question and decide upon their gender before they are capable of comprehending their emotions or the temporary discomforts of puberty. They aren't given the chance to naturally discover who they are without the interference of a social contagion that tells them their personality proves they were born in the wrong body. And when a woman, particularly a mother, challenges the indoctrination directed at her children, she becomes an immediate target of the very ideologues who claim to champion women's rights. The moment she refuses to surrender her authority as a parent, she is labeled regressive, ignorant, or phobic, proving that feminism supports women only when they obey the ideas of other women. Feminism began as a virtuous and noble force for equality, but it mutated into cultural poison, an ideology that punishes femininity, fractures relationships, degrades the family, and erases sex distinction itself. It has reached into the minds of our children and replaced their innocence with a social contagion that urges them to mutilate themselves both mentally and physically. Healing from the damage feminism has caused in our nation begins with rejecting this cultural poison and returning to the truth of complementary polarity, human connection, stable partnerships, and the right of children to grow without invasive and damaging ideological manipulation. Feminism will never restore what it has destroyed, but awareness can, and clarity must. Thank you for listening to Rebel Empress Audio Insights.